There have always been two groups of people in the world, groups which cross all other boundaries that separate between people. Now let's see in which group you are. The parable of the fishnet teaches the unity of the human race. It shows that distinctions which we emphasize between us and other people are superficial and temporary. In the basic human nature, all persons are alike. We're like fish caught up in the same net and subject to the pleasure of the same fisherman. God has brought us under His power and for His purpose. But the parable does not stop with its emphasis on unity. It teaches further that there are definite distinctions between persons. That's not a contradiction to say we are alike and yet different. Just listen to the reading once again. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, as they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. All men are alike in essential nature, as all fish of the same species, but some are good and some are bad. As with the fish of which Jesus spoke, so it is with people around us. The Bible judges goodness and badness in relation to God. That which agrees with God is good. That which disagrees with God is bad. We must not judge people according to human standards. We must look at their relationship with God. Separation between humans began in the Garden of Eden. God created man and placed him in that beautiful garden to be master of things under his heavenly Father's sovereign care. He made man a free moral agent and gave him opportunity to choose whether he would love and serve God. A tree was placed in the garden as the occasion of man's opportunity to choose. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Genesis chapter 3 reports the temptation in Satan's lies. For the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The result was that the woman and the man took of the forbidden fruit and ate willingly of it. They were separated from one another by shame, and from God by fear. The judgment of God was exactly as He had forewarned. From that initial separation, the distinction between the righteous and the wicked has continued to this present hour. You see the distinction between people in Genesis chapter 4. Abel was moved by faith in God to offer a sacrifice which God accepted, while Cain, his brother, offered a sacrifice without faith and was rejected of God. The separation was so sharp in that instance that it resulted in Cain's murder of his brother. What a tragedy. You see the distinction between people in Genesis 6 and 7. The whole world seems to have forsaken the way of God. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repents me that I have made them." But the whole world had not forsaken God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Not everyone was wicked. There was one man with his family who reverenced God and was committed to faithful service to God. Such a distinction between the righteous and the wicked continues to this very day. You see the distinction between people in God's call of Abram. When it seemed the whole world had given over to the worship of idols, there was a man named Abram whom God called out of an idolatrous city unto himself. The call of Abram was so specific as to point out that there was in that society a people whom God accepted and a people whom He rejected. God called Abram to come to a different geographical location, to enter into a blessed and solemn covenant of grace, and to be a shining light of justification by faith to people then and now. Even the rite of circumcision of the flesh helped to mark the people of God as distinct from the people who did not know Him. and that distinction still stands. You see the distinction between people in the events of Israel's bondage in Egypt. They were looked upon by the Egyptians as unwelcome foreigners whose very presence was a threat to the security of the land. They were oppressed with severe bondage. The people of Israel cried out to God. God called Moses and sent him with a message. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Pharaoh did not release the Hebrews. He only increased their servitude. Plagues came upon the land of Egypt. The first plague, water turning to blood, covered the whole land. The second plague, frogs infesting the land, covered the whole land. The third plague, lice coming forth from the very dust to torment man and beast, covered the whole land. But then came the fourth plague, the swarms of flies, and something unusual happened. God said, I will put a division between my people and your people. When the plague of disease came upon cattle, God made a distinction once more, and the Lord severed between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and nothing died of all of the children of Israel. Now, what was the purpose in it all? God explained, that you may know how the Lord puts a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. In other words, God was identifying his people from the rest of that generation. There have always been two groups of people in the world, groups which cross all other boundaries that separate between men. One group is made up of people who recognize and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The other group is people who reject his blessed Lordship. Now, Christians are distinct from non-Christians today. Christians are born of God and have authority to be called the sons of God. They are not of the world because Jesus has called them out from the world, so the world hates them. They have been given to Jesus Christ by God the Father. They are kept by God the Father so long as they live in the world. They are kept from the evil one, sanctified by the word of truth, and commissioned to go into all the world as a witness of God's grace in Jesus Christ. What a privilege to be a Christian. Would you like to become a Christian? You can. By an act of your will, resolve to be done with sin and seek salvation in Jesus Christ. Transfer your confidence from every other person and thing and settle it upon Him alone as your Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins and accept the fact that He does because He promised to do so. By faith, thank Him for forgiving your sins and making you a child of God. In the words of Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we recognize that there is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the children of God and the children of the devil. Thank you for making that distinction so clear that each one can know definitely that he is saved. Grant that all who share these words may turn from sin to the Savior today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.